This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we just want to be more conscious of your presence than anything else. Lord, we acknowledge you. Lord, as we worship you, as we praise you, we acknowledge that you are on the throne. All the glory, the kingdom is yours, the power is yours, the glory is yours, everything is yours. You are in control. We lift up our eyes to you, and Lord, thank you that we can have absolute confidence, absolute trust that you are in absolute control. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in each one of our lives as we've heard, Lord, that treasure that you put within us. Our prayer is that, Lord, that you would be revealed in us, that your glory would be revealed in us. Thank you. It's for this purpose, Lord, that you brought us forth, that we might declare your praises and your glory in this time that you planted each one of us. And so, Lord, I pray anything that would distract from that, anything that would take away from that, we thank you that you would take it out of the way, Lord. And remove it so that, Lord, we can be a purpose, a people of one mind, one heart, one voice, Lord, to see your kingdom come, your will being done on earth just like it is in heaven. And I thank you for that vision to burn within each one of our hearts, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to read again. I want to talk about the work that God's started in us, the work that he will continue and the work that he will finish in us. Jesus was on the cross reading out of John 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Praise God. You know, Bev was saying, you know, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the Greeks, and it's a stumbling block to the Jews. Foolishness to the Greeks, that's the whole world thinking that we've got to come up with some new method, some new answer. We've got to come up with some great strategy, a great government, a great person, a great leader to solve all the problems. And that's the way the world's heading. That's like the Greek thinking. It's foolishness to that kind of thinking, the message of the cross. And to the Jewish mind, the religious mind, it was a stumbling block because their focus was on their efforts to try and please God. Boy, did they try hard. You know, Paul said, you know, that he said they're going about so hard to establish their own righteousness and missing what God had already done for them. And so this word, "it is finished." Jesus Christ has done it all. The work is finished. He's risen from the dead and he is Lord, and he's seated at the right hand of God, waiting until all his enemies are made his footstool. What's the last enemy? Death. All right, now, where are all of his enemies going to be put? Under his feet. Isn't it that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we accept him as Lord and Saviour, the Bible says we're baptised, that we're baptised into the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we're raised with him to walk a whole new life, that we become the body of Christ. He's the head and we're the body. Paul says, don't you know that you are the temple, that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because that Spirit is dwelling in Christ's body, isn't it? Spirit of God came upon Christ Jesus. And so we're all trying to get God to come upon us, but he already is when we're in Christ. We're in him. And he's our victory. He's our victory. So he won, he finished the work. We can't take away from that. We can't add to it. All we can do is believe it. And Jesus was, he started to do miracles amongst the people. And in John 6, a group of people there asked him, what should we do to work the works of God? In other words, how are we going to please God? What can we do to please God? And he said, this is the work of God, is that you believe on him whom God has sent. That's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him that he has done the whole thing. He's finished the work. And I think about our mission in this church is to win people to Christ. I don't know about you. What wins somebody to Christ? It's when they get to see him, isn't it? When you get to see Jesus. Oh, look, I remember all these crazy people and being won to Christ because I saw what God was doing in these people who weren't special. They weren't above average, if you like, but they had something that I knew wasn't of them. They had something supernatural, and I was won to Christ through the lives of a group of people who just loved Jesus. They were all about Jesus, and he was manifested in their midst. So our mission is to win people to Christ. And the second part of that is to establish them in Christ. Third is to make them useful for Christ. And the fourth one, send them as Christ. That's a tall order, isn't it? Does it sound presumptuous or prideful? No, it doesn't to me, and I'll explain that. Established in Christ, and that's in him, not in ourselves, but in him. And I just want to use, God's the one, as I read out of Philippians, that's at work in us. Remember, he's begun a good work in us. I remember that in Philippians 1. He has begun a good work in each and every one of them. God did it. How many have helped God to do that work? You're too scared to put up your hand, aren't you? We didn't help him at all. Because the truth is, the Bible says, when we were helpless. So helpless person can't do anything. In fact, it's even worse than that. He died for us while we were his enemies. Oh, enemy certainly doesn't try to help, do they? And so he did it all. He has begun, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Right there is summed up, if you like, in a couple of words, the whole Christian walk. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. We can hinder that if we want by getting in the way. He's the master craftsman. What does he require from us is to allow him to do that work that only he can do. Established in Christ. So he's at work in us, it says in Philippians 2. He's at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He does all that as well, even the will. How many find that you don't have a will to do? Right. Well, Jesus has. And he's the one that's in you. He's the one that's in you. I'm going to share an example of that in a minute. Israel, remember I've often used the story of Israel. Israel, God's chosen people. They're in Egypt, which is a type of the world, under the control of Pharaoh, who's a type of the devil. controlled everyone. Everyone, the Bible says, a slave of sin. Where does sin come from originally? The devil. So all were imprisoned, all were enslaved. So here's Israel in Egypt, a type of the world, in bondage. They were slaves. They weren't free, but they were God's people. And God sends Moses to tell them that he's going to bring them out and he's going to bring them in to a land, promised land, where everything was on tap, if you like. The houses were built, vineyards were planted, water came from heaven whenever it was needed, rivers flowed. It was a land of milk and honey. So here's God's promise to say, that's what I'm going to do for you. And so God starts that work. And what in the process of start, here's an interesting thing. Now, it says in the Bible in the last days that Satan's going to try to wear out the saints. When do we get tired? When do we get tired? I used to think I was really strong. I'd be roof tiling and, you know, running up and down ladders. I used to think you're really strong. You know, a little bit of heat comes and, boy, I start melting. And I start working hard and at the end of the day, I'm cactus. I'm tired. My super strength ran out. Even the youths shall faint and grow weary. That's what the scripture said. So I found out I wasn't invincible. I found out that I would get tired. We get tired when we work hard. We get tired. And so sometimes, you know, the problem is we're taking on work that we shouldn't be taking on. What we should be doing is allowing God to continue that work that he has begun. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are weary and what heavy laden, and I will give you rest because my yoke is easy and my burden's light. It is a work, but there's something about it that doesn't wear you out. There's something about it that doesn't cause you to be weary because he's our strength. He's our strength. There's a supernatural enabling and strength. So here's Israel. They're in bondage. They're in prison. And God says, I'm going to liberate you, set you free, bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I'm going to bring you into the promised land. And so he says all this, and they have a bit of a struggle believing that. They're, first of all, they're overwhelmed to worship God because somebody's thinking of them. Isn't that our case? You know, we get to the end of our tether and find out God loves us despite all that we've done. And we say, oh, so good you love me despite all that I am. And he blesses us and says, okay, stand aside, God. I'll show you what I can do now. I'm right. I just need the little pick-me-up and now I can get back in control and I can do it. And so what happens? We fall flat on our face again. So he has to take them all through the wilderness. And the ideal is to get into the promised land. It's in the promised land where all the blessings are, where all the fruit is, where the houses are. What does house speak of? Rest, doesn't it? Resting in him. Fields already planted, all the work's done. You just have to reap it in. And so all the blessing is in the promised land. They've just got to get in there. They've got to be in the promised land. The Bible says to the Israelites, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful. And so in a way, when we come to Christ, the Bible says we are in Christ Jesus. We're in him. If we're in, and he's in us. All the promises of God, it says in 2 Corinthians, all the promises of God in him, who in Christ, are yes and amen. I read that every single promise in this Bible is yes in Christ Jesus. The problem with the Israelites is they didn't believe to enter in. Why? Because there were giants, right? And all those giants represented things in our own thinking that we struggle with. Every single one of those giants represented our own thinking, thinking that's contrary to what God says. And so when they saw the giants and all the cities and the armies, they said, we are not able to go in there. We're not able to possess it. So hopelessness settled in. They said, we can't go and live there. So what's left? Go back to Egypt. Go back to what we know. What we know, what we're used to, what we're living in. And I think that's what happens to so many Christians. We are born again in Christ Jesus and we learn of all the promises of God. We're hearing it and incredible excitement rises up within us. And yes, think about those so many songs. I mean, now that song, I've found a new way of living. I've found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace. He has made them mine. I have prosperity, power and victory. So he's abiding in the vine. All these incredible songs that were written to say that Christ has done it all. But what happened to the Israelites? They got to the border. God says, go in. And they said, no, we can't. So they ended up dying, all of them dying in the wilderness, in no man's land. You know, what's no man's land? It's believing in God, but still my experience is this. Remember I said that where the battle is, where our problem is where? It's here in the mind. And the Bible says that our warfare, the Israelites, right, they had to enter into a warfare, but God says, I've already given you the land. Isn't that incredible? He doesn't say, I'm giving it to you. He said, I've already given it to you. It's yours. Go in and possess it. You know, he said to Abraham, this is the father of the Israelites, he said to Abraham, I've given it to you. Now go, arise and walk in it. Walk in the length and the breadth of the land because I've given it to you. And this man, even though there were all these Canaanite kings and enemies, he's just marching through this land. And declaring by faith, God's given this to me and to my children. They're going to inherit this land and own this land. And so he rises up, who, in God, and marches through that whole land. And what does God say? Every place, he said this to Joshua, arise and enter the land. Every place that you put the sole of your feet, I've given it to you. Not will give, I've given it to you. God says, I've given it to you. Do you know that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Let's look at a few. We've got to look at a few here. I want you to hear the language that the Bible uses to describe what God has already given. In Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Mombok, wherever you're from, and faithful in Christ. You are saints in this place, faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation. When did he do this? before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. This is all done deal. This is all done deal, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in. He's not making you accepted. He has made you and he's made me accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption. Not we're having it or trying to get it. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. It was like some kind of pudding. Having made known to us, he's made it known, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And he's at work in you and at me and in me. Another thing. And it's after that that Paul asks God to give the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Why? To see what he's done. Not only what he's done in heaven, but what he's done in us. He asked for, you know how you can, anybody had an experience where you've been blinded to something, some kind of truth, or I'm trying to think of something, but it's like it's right in front of you and you can't see it. Doesn't mean you haven't got it because it's right there. It's just that you can't see it, so you don't know it, so you don't live in it. One of the Bibles say, my people are destroyed through what? Lack of knowledge. In other words, they don't know. So he's praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that each one of us would know our calling, know what God's called us to do, to be, what he's done in us. And he prays that we would know also, you know, many things, the power that's at work in us. But anyway, I just want to read down a little bit. Chapter 2 says, we were once dead in sins. We walked according to the course of this world, just like Israel did in Egypt. They did what they were told there. We were fulfilling the lusts of our mind and our flesh and were children of wrath. In the middle of that, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. I'm alive in Christ. You've been made alive in Christ. He made us alive together. It says the same thing in Colossians. And has raised us up together. Together. We've been raised up and we've been made to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. That's what he's done for you and that's what he's done for me. He's done it. That's why in Colossians, you get Colossians chapter 3, and you know what Paul says? He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, is that true? The Bible says it's true. Anyone dare call God a liar? I don't. Sometimes I'll whinge, and the same with you. But he has raised us up. So it says in Colossians, if then you have been raised together with Christ, what does he say? Set your mind on things above, not on things below. Here it is. Oh, is the mind set on the flesh is what? Romans. The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the spirit is life. Remember, we were talking about Philippians 3, where he says, you know, praying always and in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. And he says to think about things that are good. Now, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I want us to think about what God has done for us, not forget. You know, all of the epistles, you read Peter, you read Paul, where Paul says, I'm going to keep reminding you guys about these things. Peter says, I'm going to keep reminding you about these things. Even I'm planning to make sure that I remember, even after my death, I'm planning to have little reminders for you about what he has done, what he has finished. It's finished. He's done it all. So it's the mind that's got to be changed. Let his thinking come into us. My brother Johnny, he's a nurseryman, and he's got silver birches and maples, and he does the grafting to make, you know, weeping maples and birches as well, and you know they look pretty spectacular. And I was watching him doing the grafting, and at a certain time of the year that he does it, that he would cut off branches that were from a weeping bush already, and he would have a stock plant, which wasn't a weeper, it was just a stock plant, and he would get the branch off the weeper at the certain time of the year when the sap's flowing really well, and it was quite an intricate job that he had to do. He had to cut it in such a way, the branch, he'd splice it, and then he'd cut in the stock plant, he would cut a slice as well, and he would get the piece, the weeping branch that he's cut off and spliced, and he would slide that in so it would line up with the stock plant. And then he would get this tape and would bind it around where it was spliced into the tree and then tie it off. And then he would wait, I forget how many, I think it was a few, couple of weeks, no more than that. He'd wait a couple of weeks and then he would take the tape off to see if it had taken, if it had grafted together. And I think what a beautiful picture that the Bible says that we've been grafted in. But it had to be that time when the sap was flowing. And I think about the Holy Spirit. Isn't there a work of God when he gets a hold of you, gets a hold of me, and suddenly the word, because Johnny, my brother, had this very, he has to have a very sharp knife to do it. And he's got to keep that very sharp. And that time when the word of God comes and it's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it actually reveals our true condition. And we realize that without him, there's no hope, there's no future. And we realize that, you know, we must be born again. And so this work happens, and you know, Christ has been cut for every single one of us already. He identified completely with us, you know, and loved us completely so that we could align with him. And we're grafted in by an operation of God, by his Holy Spirit. You know, he's the husbandman, isn't he? You know, it says in the book of James, right at the end there, that the husbandman, he's got long patience waiting for that precious fruit, that growth to take place when we're grafted together with him. And so this host, that we're cut off from one plant and grafted into another one. And that tape is around. And after 2 weeks, I think it was, he would take off the tape to see whether it had taken. And I said, well, why don't you just leave the tape around there? He says, no, if you do that, that's not good. It'll just get all, I don't know, I guess it's like wrapping up a wound, isn't it, too much? It gets all sweaty and It needs to breathe. It needs to experience the air around it to really harden around. And I think often that's like us, you know, when we get saved, we're born again, we're grafted in that tape. It's like a keeping us from the wind that could blow us out of place or things that could come in. It's almost like God wraps us in cotton wool when we get saved, isn't it? And everything, every prayer is answered exactly the way we want it. And, you know, we cry and get a bottle shoved in our mouth, or cry and get a dummy stuck in our mouth. Whatever it is, God just mollycoddles us. And that's good. But it's not good if you keep needing that, is it? We look at our own. It's good for little babies, but you know, it's not good for a teenager to have a dummy in his mouth, and every little time he opens his mouth, I want this, I want that. No, you can't have lollies every day. You can't have that every day. You've got to grow. You've got to learn to grow. And isn't it the sense of being in a household that we find our identity? The same thing in Christ. We're grafted into him. And it's here that the taking. We start to line up. You know, as it say, Joshua, meditate in this word day and night. Then you will make your way successful. Is it David, you know, in Psalm 1, about meditating on the Lord day and night? He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, we're living in a generation where there is so much distraction, so much going on that, you know, we've been used to God, you know, keep the tape round me. I need the tape round me. That's what I came to you for, to answer all my prayers. No, we came to him because we knew without him there was no future. We came to him because he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We came to him so that he can live through us. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things, that old life has passed away. I am born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm not trying to be a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror because the one who made heaven and earth is living in me, and he has started a work in me that he will continue. He's at work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's our faith. That's why Paul, Peter, John, they always made sure they wanted to remind us about the work that he has started in us and the work that he will complete. Another picture of that. The Bible says in Romans 12 that we have, you know, because of the incredible mercy of God, when he saved us and gave us all this blessing, all this inheritance, you're sanctified, you're set apart, You're made whole in Christ. And we said, what do you do for all this incredible mercy? He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your body. Your body. No, shouldn't I just give my best thoughts? No, your body. If you're presenting your body, you've got everything. How many are still thinking about it? Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy. Why? Because he's made it holy by the blood of Jesus, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable form of service or worship. And don't be conformed to this world. We're in a time where there's so much conforming going on. Don't you feel the pressure of it now? Oh, I better not do that because they might think, all this pressure to conform and think like the world. Everywhere you look, there's pressure to conform. And he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Because that's what this word will do. It will do it. This word is alive and it's powerful. Let me tell you, This word says, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives in me. Our problem is the distractions. But, what about this? What about that? What about what I did? Well, that's where your mind is. That's where your mind is. God has done it. Now get your mind on him. Think on whatever things are good. I'm a new creation. I've been born again. Old things have passed away. All of them. I'm a new creation. I love God. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. He has raised me up. He's made me sit together with him in the heavenly places. What are you thinking about? Start thinking about what God says he's done for us. And the more you think about it, the more it's going to drop down. But it depends. You might be trying to think of two things. Oh, that's a miserable state to be in, to be double-minded. You say, well, I'll do this for God. I'm trying to, you know, have half your life. Say, yeah, I'll live half my life for God, but half my life for the world. You're going to be the most miserable man there could ever be. Present your body as a living sacrifice. We'll finish up now. Can we stand, please? I want to pray. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. My people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. It's not that you haven't had the knowledge or known about it, but it's that you haven't laid hold of it and just simply believed it. Meditate in his word day and night. You'll be like a tree planted by the waters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that every promise that you have made, every single one, you said this, is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray, any proud thought, any high thought, any vain thought, any fearful imagination or anxious thought or worry, Lord, that contradicts that word, we just pull it down in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray every lie would be exposed in our minds and hearts by your word. Your word is alive and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, tear down every stronghold. Tear down every lie. That, Lord, your word, Lord, we first and foremost in every heart and mind. And Lord, that your power would flow out. Lord, that we would be a people who lay a hold of that for which you have laid a hold of us. You got a hold of us. You did the whole work. And I pray such a rising up within our hearts and minds to lay hold of that for what you've done for us. Lord, that you might be glorified in each of our lives, that you might be would come in and through us, that others would taste and see that you are good. Lord, we want to win people to you. We want to be a people who are established in you and cannot be shaken, cannot be moved. And Lord, bring heaven down on earth. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. And Lord, thank you for your blessing. I pray, Lord, that we'd be a people that would encourage one another and speak the truth in love, Lord, to one another, Lord, so that we might be built up together in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.